situations where the Lord reduced me to that's all that I had left to do. That's all that I could do. And I know the Christian rebuttal, that's all we should do. But you know very well, if you've suffered at all, what I'm speaking about, where sometimes the Lord reduces you. He brings you to a place where no expert or medical professional or counselor, whoever it would be, can intervene, and you need a breakthrough from heaven. So prayer and fasting is something I've had a strong conviction on in my own life to do. It's been a part of my life. In the last few years, we've done a few church fasts, and we've come together as a church, and we've asked the Lord to break chains and to show us his glory. If you're not familiar with what I mean by fasting, I know there's a lot of intermittent fasting and other fasts that people do for physical reasons. Interestingly enough, they say that when you fast physically, even if it's not a spiritual fast, that when you come through a fast, that it increases your vision, which I think is interesting because spiritually it does too. You know, there's this greater insight that the Lord has as you detach from the horizontal and you attach to the vertical in a greater measure. Jesus said that this is something we're to do. So we do that here. We believe in it. We're finishing today. At the end of the service, I'll close this out in our fast. Thank the Lord for what he's done, what he's yet to do. But I wanted to just allow the Lord to interrupt our flow of moving through the scriptures this morning for Mike Pasentino in just a moment to come on up and to testify of God's miraculous work in him and his wife Faith and their daughter's life. It's a really powerful story that he's going to share with us. And so, you know, we go back to, it's been almost a year, this past January, where he called me. I won't forget this moment where he calls me. Sean and I were at a furniture store, and I knew in his voice that it wasn't good. He was in the doctor's office with his wife, and he was being strongly advised to terminate their pregnancy. I'll pause there. I'll invite him up. He'll take over, and we'll listen into what the Lord has done. So if you would, please welcome Mike Pasentino.
Good morning, everyone. Real quick, let me just... So one thing that I want to just kind of say at the onset is that I want all of you here today that when I'm done, not to really see, you know, myself or my wife or my daughter or anything else that this story may show you, but what I want is you to see Jesus through it. I want you to see God and how he has done this thing that I'm about to share with you. That's why I'm titling my message today, Look to God, because as Pastor Dave mentioned, when you go through some of life's deepest and darkest valleys, that's all that we can do is look to him. So I want to start by reading a passage of scripture that the Lord put on my heart this past week in my devotions. It's Philippians chapter 1. If you want to open up to it, you can. Like I said, I just started the book of Philippians in my own personal life in my devotions, and this past week, the Lord really kind of has done some great things for us throughout the church fast, throughout the past 10 months or so, almost a year. But this past week, the Lord really kind of just knit this whole thing together. As Pastor Dave said, we are coming out of this 30-day fast, so I think it's really cool. So I want to share with you what the Lord put on my heart earlier this week. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, Paul writing, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all of the rest." That's all of us here today, to everyone else, that the chains that I have suffered are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, that's you, having become confident, which I'm hoping you will become confident of my chains that I'm going to share with you today, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And that's my prayer. My prayer is that you will be able to see what God has done for us, and that will encourage you. I want to be here as an encouragement, as a lifter of heads. If you are going through something today, and maybe you're not at the other side of it, to keep going, to keep pressing on, and to keep looking to God. So with that being said, going back to December of the end of last year, my wife and I and our family are on a family vacation. And my wife comes to me at one point in it. She's about 15 weeks pregnant at this time. And in a kind of troubling way, she says to me, I think my water broke. And I'm just like, okay, that's not right now at 15 weeks. Like, this probably, you know, isn't good. And so we're kind of like trying to figure this out. And we call her doctors and they're like, okay, just continue to monitor it. And then when you guys get back, we'll get you right in, get you an emergency ultrasound, and we'll kind of figure this thing out. So we do that. We make it through the rest of the vacation. We come home. We get in the very next day after a rough day of traveling the previous day. And we go in for the ultrasound, and the doctors and the ultrasound techs confirm to us exactly what we thought was the case. Now, it's one thing when you're kind of waiting to hear news from a doctor or somebody or whatever, but it's another thing when you know exactly what that bad news is and they're just coming in to confirm to you what that is. But then it's another thing that while you're waiting for them to come in, they make you wait like 25, 30 minutes before they even come in. So like the emotions and the overwhelmedness of just being in that situation was very heavy. So real quick, I just want to pause because I didn't know this going in. This is our first child, and I really didn't know too much, but some of you may, the importance of the amniotic fluid in pregnancy. So what's important about it is that during pregnancy, the baby is actually breathing in the amniotic fluid, and it's the amniotic fluid that goes into the baby's lungs, and it goes into these little air sacs and helps them to kind of expand and contract, and it stimulates them to further grow so that as the baby develops through week 16 through 24, which are the most critical lung development phases of childbirth, they are conditioned to be able to breathe on their own when they are born, and they come out and they burst through, and that water kind of is, now they're breathing in air. So that's number one. Number two, and this will also be important for later on, another important part of the amniotic fluid is that it helps to kind of cushion the umbilical cord for a baby. All this is fascinating to me. I think about like how God designed pregnancy and like that gives the baby everything it needs. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. But the fluid helps to cushion the umbilical cord so that it has enough room to kind of do what it does, and it doesn't compress and restrict the flow of blood and oxygen and all of the nutrients that the baby is receiving from the mother and the placenta. So just all of that just with some water. So it's absolutely fascinating. So back to the story. So we go in and the doctor comes in and they're like, yes, the water has broken, and we highly suggest that you guys consider evacuating the pregnancy is what the way that they called it. But we knew exactly what that meant and what they were trying to say. They said that without the presence of the amniotic fluid, both my wife and the baby inside of her were at risk of high risk of infection, which could turn out to be fatal for both of them. That birth at this point was inevitable, right? When a woman's water breaks, baby's not too far behind. And that if the baby were to have come forth at that point at 15, 16 weeks, she was not even at the point of viability, and that they would not even be able to intubate her. They would not have been able to intervene, to do anything that they could to resuscitate and to kind of help. So that was a very troubling thing. So real quick, I feel like the Lord has kind of like burdened me with this topic specifically, because I know that it's very sensitive, and I know that it's very hot and hostile, especially out there right now and today. But with respect to abortion, I think it's important to say that as Christians, you know, we build our life on the Word of God. We build our life on the Word of God, and when we don't know what to do, we look to it for guidance and direction. Now, I believe, based on Scripture, it's very clear God's heart on this topic. He takes very serious the life of the innocents. He takes very serious a baby's life. We see it all throughout Scripture. So that's number one. Number two, if you are anyone in here today that has ever gone through something like this, or you know of somebody that has gone through something like this, the magnitude of what you are faced with, I empathize with you. And I want you to know that no matter what decision you have ever made, that there is grace in Jesus, there is love, there is forgiveness, and He wants the best for you and that baby. He loves that baby more than you ever could even imagine. So that's number two. I want you to know that there is grace and forgiveness and love from Jesus to you if you have ever been in that situation. Number three, and I think this is most important for the rest of us in here, if you have never been in that situation, right? Because everybody nowadays, too, has an opinion on everything. Everybody has an opinion whether you want to believe it or not or admit it or not. But we as Christians, we need to be sensitive to people. We can't get into these heated debates on this or that and be so staunch in one thing. Because until you are faced face-to-face with that, you have no idea what you will do. You have no idea what you will choose. You have no idea what goes through your mind as a husband, as a father, as a mom, as a wife, as just a human, the emotion, the magnitude of it. So I think it's important that we need to be sensitive to each other when talking about something like this. And I think that we need to be sensitive, especially to people out in that world who don't know Jesus, who don't know the love of God. And they will see that in us as we are sensitive to them and what they have gone through. So that's kind of just what the Lord has burdened my heart with respect to this topic. So I kind of want to just get back to the story on that. So we tell them kind of where we're at and what we decide and what we want to do. And they're like, okay, if that's the case, then here's what we'll do. We want you guys in here every week. We want you guys in here twice a week sometimes. So we're going to monitor you guys with ultrasounds and just kind of watch very closely, very heavily, and Faith is going to be sentenced to a bed rest. She's going to be on bed rest for the remainder of the pregnancy. So in those moments, right, like as Pastor Dave was just kind of touching on before I came up, in those moments, as a man, speaking experientially, there was literally nothing that could be done from medical standpoints, from professional intervention, from just me doing anything. And in that instance, you know, I adopted, as I have in, you know, like Pastor Dave said, of just decades of, or a decade or so of walking with Jesus, prayer and fasting in my own life. And I began to pray and fast because that's all that I could do. There was literally nothing that could be done. My wife's on bed rest. I'm just kind of like over here, like, I don't know what's going on. So Lord, I'm looking to you. And I just, I don't know what it is about prayer and fasting, but the Lord honors it, and He just tells us to do it, so we just obey, and we just move forward. So that was pivotal for us in our trial, in our deep, deep, dark times, just to be able to pray and to fast and just to kind of detach from like what everybody was saying around us and just to get our focus back on Jesus, because at the end of the day, His will, whatever it would be for our lives, is far greater than anything we could ever imagine or think. So it's about week 23-ish, week 24-ish. We go in for our normal weekly checkups, and the doctor comes in and kind of has this look on her face, and we're just kind of like, okay, like, what's going on? The ultrasound text, you know, nowadays it's like they can't tell you anything until the doctor comes in. They just do their thing, and then the doctor comes in. So she comes in, and we're like, okay, like, what's up? And she's like, well, you won't believe this, but if I was looking at your scan and I didn't know what was going on, I would have never known that your water broke. The Lord miraculously, the Lord miraculously regenerated all of the fluid that was around our baby. And so it was absolutely miraculous. It was absolutely miraculous because early on they told us that there is 0% chance that the fluid will come back. That there is no way that this, they don't see this, it's never happened, you know, whatever. So she says there's about a 7 to 8 centimeter pocket of water around the baby. It's like, as if this is never, yeah, thank you. So it's important because as I mentioned, weeks 16 to 24 are pivotal lung development phases for the baby in birth. We were at week like 23, 24. Already a lot of time had lapsed, without the fluid. And the doctors told us that even though this fluid has come back, it's likely that it's not going to really impact her overall lung development, and that she'll likely have a lung disease known as bronchial pulmonary dysplasia, which BPD, which she does have right now. However, I say that because I don't necessarily believe, and I don't know, but I don't necessarily have to even know or believe that God regenerated all of that fluid specifically for her lungs. But I can stand here today and say to you that if you're going through something, whatever it is, that people around you, experts, doctors, counselors, lawyers, whoever, are telling you that there is a 0% chance that whatever it is that you're praying for or hoping for won't happen, I'm here to tell you that it can happen. I'm here to tell you that He is a God. He is a God of miracles, that He is still working for His beloved, that He is still doing the things that we hear about, but are so sometimes in our own personal lives, just confessing as a fallen man, doubting in my own life, that then when you see it happen to you or someone close by to you, it's like, okay, it's that shot in the arm that I need to just continue propelling forward. It's something that you can hold up, a lion's head, a bear head, to say, look what I have here to show you that my God is the God of the impossible. So we continue on. We're excited. It's funny, I was reviewing old text messages last night and just kind of going through. I went back to that day and just kind of reviewing some things, text messages with my friends and my family about that day, and just all of the emotion of it came back. It's amazing. So if you're somebody here and you've ever had like a prayer answered, right? We've all had prayer answers, but something like crazy like that, read Psalm 30 when you get a chance. It's good to remind ourselves. It's good to refresh ourselves when God answers prayer, because it anchors us to continue on when we face that next thing, because there's always a next thing no matter what it is. Doesn't matter what you're going through today, there will always be more as long as we're still here in this sin-fallen world. So Psalm 30 is great for anyone that has ever experienced answered prayer, and just to kind of remind yourselves and to refresh yourselves in that. So we go in, it's about week 27, week 28 now of the pregnancy. We go in for our normal checkup, normal routine, and they kind of say to us, you know, something doesn't look right on the scan. We'd like you to go to the hospital over there to just kind of get some further testing and just kind of, you know, evaluation. So we go over to the hospital where they do a little bit more in-depth testing. They confirm what our ultrasound people said to be the case. Something didn't look right. They wanted to further monitor us, so they admitted us for the duration of the pregnancy into the hospital. Where not only my wife was going to continue to be on bed rest, but now she was going to be essentially sentenced to a hospital bed for the entire duration, which was crazy because she was monitored. She was hooked up to a monitor. They had straps around her stomach and waist, and they just were constantly like watching this screen. It was like a polygraph machine where you just see the wires just kind of going like that, but they're measuring like her heart rate, her oxygen, and like they're watching for decelerations and the lines coming down, and they're watching for accelerations when it goes up, and then they're monitoring, and it was just crazy. So much so that like they would be coming in every like 5-10 minutes, like if something were going, like, is everything okay? It's like, yeah, she just got up to go to the bathroom, or she just needed something to drink, or she just needed to stretch her legs. It's like, yeah, they're like, okay, well, get back in bed when you're done, because like we need, like, it's messing everything up, and we're like, okay, like, relax, it's fine. Like, but that was a very dark place in and of itself. I think more so for my wife, because I was able to continue to go to work. I had my laptop, I'm doing work up there, I'm going to appointments, I run into the house, and she's stuck there. So I was talking with her last night and just kind of like, you know, babe, what would you kind of say about that season and that time in your life? And what she had said to me was really cool. She said, I think the most important thing was, you know, not only did it allow me to draw closer to God in just like prayer and the reading of His word, but He further revealed to me His promises that I was able to hold on to for things that not yet already were happening, that had not happened already. So, You know, the fact that God was just speaking to her in those darkest, darkest moments. And I think about where we have been on Wednesday nights in 2 Corinthians, where this past week, Paul was at a place of despair, right? If you were here Wednesday, you remember where it's like, I'm just ready to despair of life. I'm done. I want to just be done. And that's kind of like how it was for us in those dark moments. But as you'll see this week, you get to that part where it says that all of God's promises are yes and amen. And that's what kind of helped her to propel forward and through that dark season there for a little bit in the hospital. So March 30th comes. We're at the end of that first week there. March 30th is a day that I'll never forget. It's about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in there. I got my laptop. I'm doing some work. We're just kind of like talking, whatever. All of a sudden, a team of like 6, 10 doctors come in telling us that, hey, we've been watching the baby on the monitor out there, and she is decelling a lot more frequently. It's for a lot longer. They're a lot closer together. We need to prep you for an emergency C-section, and we need to go into surgery like right now. And so this was like, whoa, like I was not expecting this right now. I was, you know, praying that the Lord would continue to carry our baby more further along, but, you know, he had other plans. And so, you know, the Lord kind of just gave us both an overwhelming sense of peace, and we decided to just, we said, okay, like there is more that these doctors can do for our baby now that she is past the point of viability where she is big enough, she's far enough along gestationally that they can intubate her, they can intervene, they can get the NICU team all involved right away. So we were just like, okay, let's do it. So they take her in. Now, what's really cool, and I didn't mention this first service, but I felt like the Lord would have me to share it now with you guys, is just how God is so faithful to extend tokens of love to his children in like these dark, dark times, just to kind of let you know that, hey, like I'm here with you, and I got you. And so all the way up until this, we had been working with Faith's primary doctor with all of our like checkups and everything. We're checking in with her as much as we're checking in with the ultrasound team. And she kind of walked us through a lot of different things prior to this. And so she was a really good source of comfort for us. She was really a good source of like credibility, and just like we trusted her. We just had this connection with her. It was really cool. Like she was like, it was just awesome. And so we were really hoping that, you know, she would be able to be the one. And she had said, like, I'm going to be there for you guys when you have the baby. Well, the week that we get admitted into the hospital, we find out that she's actually on vacation and she's not there. She's getting ready for something. She has family from out of town coming in. So she just couldn't be there. So they take my wife into surgery, and I find this out later because when I walked in, when they brought me in, when she was prepped and ready, there her doctor was like just standing right there. And so Faith told me afterwards that when she was brought in, her doctor was standing there, and she said two things to her. Just that was a further like cementing of confirmation that like you guys are doing the right thing right now. And that was really like, it might not seem like much, but for Faith and for me, like it was everything, because we trust this lady and this doctor. We developed a relationship. She wasn't just a random that was assigned to us. So that was number one. Number two, she said something that will forever stick with me. That my wife told me afterwards. She said, I know that a lot of people, they go through things and they come through them and they say that like their baby is a miracle, but your baby really is a miracle. And to hear her say that, this lady was an unbeliever. You could tell by just certain things. You just know. And the fact that God was revealing himself, and I pray that still is revealing himself to this doctor, to acknowledge the fact that a miracle is a real thing, and that with that there has to be a miracle performer, a miracle maker, means that he is working still. So don't give up on people out there and sharing your testimony and being bold over it, because God is still working in the hearts of unbelievers out there. So back to the story, the surgery goes forward, the baby comes out, they bring her out into another room outside of the OR where there's a team of like 10, 12 NICU doctors and nurses and everything, and they're all over her. I didn't even get to go in there for like 10, 15 minutes after the fact. They're like doing all this stuff. They call it bagging her. They get the oxygen so that they could intubate, and they're hooking her up with this and poking her with that and doing all these things so that they can get her in the incubator ready for delivery into the NICU. Excuse me. Now, so much happened during our time in the NICU that I can't get into now, but I just want you to know that if you or anyone you know has ever had an experience in the NICU, they call it a NICU roller coaster because that's exactly what it is. There are good days sandwiched together with bad days, sandwiched together with days that have both good and bad. And now at the end of this fast, all I'm thinking about is sandwiches. So it's like I'm ready for. So it's like there's just so much going on in this time because we ended up being in the NICU for just under 4 months. We were there for 118 days. And I just want to say this real quick, we are blessed to have Golisano Children's Hospital. They are absolutely unbelievable. The staff that they have there, I mean, even to this day, Faith and I still are in connection with some of the nurses and people that like we talked to during that time. Even just the way that the Lord kind of ordained nurses and people that we were able to have conversations with there was absolutely amazing. So July 27th comes. So now we're just at 118 days. Eliana's doing well. Her name is Eliana. Eliana's doing well. She is at a place where they are confident that she can go home. The only caveat is that she would come home on a feeding tube, a G-tube that she has to this day, and oxygen. She would have a nasal cannula fitted for her, and she would be on oxygen for the foreseeable future. So for us, it was like, okay, as long as we know how to like do anything in emergency and look at it, like we don't care. We just want our baby home. It's been 4 months. We're here just in the hospital all day, every day. Like this is tiring. Like we just want her home. And so on July 27th, after 118 days, we were able to be discharged from the NICU to get her home, which was absolutely amazing. So there have been a lot of challenges with that since July, right? Adapting to a new sense of normal with a baby with needs. And if there's anyone in here that has a child or has a loved one that is sick and at home that you are caretaking, like you can understand what that is. And it's just different. It's just different. It's a lot of just like challenges and working through things and kind of like, you know, becoming more one with your spouse and just kind of learning how to do different things together and how to navigate through these different waters. But overall, it's been amazing. And so it's kind of crazy too, because to get back to the scripture and how all of these things have kind of worked out for the furtherance of the gospel and how that ties with where we are as a church with our fast. This last week, this last full week of the fast, God really like moved in power for us. So this past week, I started the book of Philippians in my devotions, in my morning reading. And I'm reading through it, and the Lord spoke to me, verses 12 through 14, that, hey, Mike, the things that you have just gone through, they aren't for you. They're for the furtherance of the gospel. They are for other people to see, to be confident of, and to be bold in that. So I was just like, wow, okay. So I write in my Bible, you know, like Eliana's story. And, you know, so then I'm also reading on Tuesday, which was the 25th, the proverb of the day, Proverbs 25. And Proverbs 25, verse 25 said, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, if any of you have ever spent a long, hard day working, you know, there's nothing like just that moment when you grab a bottle of water, cold, and you start chugging it, and it's just like, oh, it's the best feeling in the world. And I started praying, and I'm like, all right, God, like, you know, this would be amazing if we could get this call that Eliana is free and clear to come off oxygen. It's going to be, what a day that's going to be. Just kind of just like flippantly, just like what a day that's going to be kind of a thing. So the next day, Wednesday, day 26 was for the fast, was a prayer for adoration and just adoring God in all of the things that he has done. And we're at home. We had another appointment that day. I'm home later in the day, like 3-4 o'clock, I think it was. I'm doing some work on my laptop. And then all of a sudden, we're like just kind of talking like, man, like, why haven't they called us? Why haven't, because she, Eliana had done some testing to kind of see where she was at. And we're just kind of like, man, like, I wish they would call. Literally, like, 2 seconds later, the phone rings, and it's the pulmonologist telling us that Eliana is free and clear to be off oxygen. She's able to breathe 100%. You guys could show the... This is her right now. Oh, she's funny, man. She was... In the NICU, it's funny that she was like this one pound, 5 ounce little Spitfire. All the nurses and everyone, they like, she would be kicking them and like wailing her hands and like, man, she is feisty. I'm like, yeah, she's a fighter. Don't mess with her. She'll take you out at 1 pound. So so I think about like how the Lord just kind of just so miraculously like knit all of this together. And on that day, Wednesday, when we got the call, the Lord also ministered to me in my reading, Psalm 66. And I was in the Psalms, which is a great place to be if you're ever in a place where it's like you don't know like what to do, whatever. Look to the Psalms. There's great comfort. In Psalm 66, I'll just read you a couple of verses. The Lord says, or the psalmist says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Verse 10, it says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. End of verse 12, we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Now, this is what really like kind of just like wow. Like verse 13 says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. And that's exactly why I felt so strong that like we had to just be bold in sharing what God has done, because here we are at the end of this 30-day fast, the last week of it, holding up the biggest giant's head that has, for us, has ever been attained. And we say to you today that like if you're going through something, look to God, look to what God can do, because he is still the God of the miraculous. He is still able. He is still working in power and in wonder. So I am grateful. I am humbled to be on the other side of this here today with you guys. But we also know that there are so many that are still going through things, that are still not through that other side. And so I just want you to know that, like, we empathize with you. And, you know, if you need anything, like, please, like, let the pastors and elders know, like, we are here, we love you, we're praying for you guys. But for those of us who have seen God move in the other side, be an encouragement and share your story with those who may need it, because you never know what somebody is going through. So I thank you guys so much for letting us just be vulnerable and share our story with you. I'm going to invite Pastor Dave up so that he could close the service and pray for you guys.
I think what we're celebrating most is that the baby looks like her mother and not like you. You can be seated for a moment. I'd like to address the congregation. I know Faith is here. I want to say from the depths of my heart, and obviously on behalf of you as a congregation, thank you to you, to Faith, for sharing your story, for being vulnerable. You know, I know getting up here several times a week, you stand before, and don't take this to offense, but some of you are strangers in so many ways. We, you know, you don't get to sit and get to know everybody. We will in glory, and that will be wonderful. But here we don't know everybody, and you come up and you share things that are personal, that are deep in your heart, and there's a vulnerability there. You almost feel naked, like everybody in the room is just staring, and there's a level of discomfort. So I just want to say thank you to Faith, to Mike. I had a opportunity since day one to walk with them front row seat and watch this and be in their corner and root for them. And I just want to, because the Bible says, let another man praise you. and not your own lips. And I want to take a moment to praise you, one of my elders, one of my most trusted men, you know, your wife Faith, and just say you guys suffered well and were an incredible example to our congregation. Mike, on top of balancing work and home life and his wife being so sick through this, you know, just continue to show up to midweek, show up to prayer, show up to Sunday mornings, hold up my hands and hold up your hands too. So Faith, wherever you are in the room, a sincere thank you to you. A sincere thank you to you, Mike. We stand with you. I'm deeply emotional this morning. Like I said, that call still rings in my ears when Mike was in the doctor's office and we pray together and just ask the Lord for wisdom, for a miracle. And I wanted to come to you this 30th day of the church fast and stand in front of you and give glory to God for some miraculous work. I wanted it to be something I can speak of, and if not me, somebody that I trusted that they could speak of. And that was one of the best testimonies twice I've ever heard, because all glory was given to God, and interwoven through it was Scripture. Also, what you should have gleaned from Mike, I gleaned twice, is a real walk with Jesus, not just when the fast started, and now that the fast is over, it's going to go away. What you heard was a daily walk with the Lord. And I tell my kids all the time, I want you to walk with Jesus, not just because of the future, not just because of the past, but because it's current. Not just for the future, like when you die, you want to go to heaven, and not just for the past because he saved you from your sins, but because he's showing up in your life and he's speaking to you currently. That's what a walk with Jesus is all about. And I hope you caught that from one of my men here, that there's a walk with the Lord daily that saw him through. So again, just, you know, it's beautiful what you were able to share with us this morning. Psalm 73, verse 28 says, it is good for me to draw near to God, that's fasting. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that's prayer. We don't even know how this whole thing reconciles. God tells us to pray, so we pray. You know, we just do what he says. But the end result is, the psalmist says, that I might declare your work. So here's the reality, though. We understand this morning that there's many in the room who are still waiting on the Lord. Prayers haven't been answered. Sickness still abounds. Marriages still aren't reconciled. There's still addiction in your household. There's still a prodigal out in the world in the pig slop that you're waiting for to come home. And we stand with you sensitively. We stand with you with empathy. We understand your pain and your hurt, and we want to pray for you. We're going to close the fast together as a church in a moment. We're going to sing, "This Is How I Thank the Lord." And it's going to end on a high note. But before that happens, we don't want anybody leaving here discouraged, thinking, geez, does God love me? Where am I in all of this? What's going on? We want you to draw strength from Mike and Faith's miracle and build on that. And we're asking the Lord for embers. We're asking for the Lord to something, I don't know how it works, like the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment. Something ignited her faith, a point of contact. And Jesus knew virtue went out from him and healing was brought. And I'm praying this morning that we can grab, as it were, the hem of the garment of faith that's represented in this room. And that embers, fires, little fires would come forth, and more testimony of the goodness of God would come into this week. And when I'm preaching Wednesday evening, that all of his promises are yes and amen, that there'd be more testimony of God's power. So if you're in this room right now and you say, yeah, I still need his touch, I still need his intervention, the horizontal has only been able to do so much for me, I need the vertical to intervene now, would you stand? Just stand wherever you are. We're going to pray. If you have elders in the room, yeah, just stand. Elders in the room, would you go and find these people? Put your hands on their shoulder. Deacons in the room, leadership in the room, don't say anything to them. Don't ask them, hey, what's going on? Don't bother them. Just put your hand on your shoulder. We don't want anybody to stand alone. There's people all throughout the sanctuary, though, still waiting on the Lord. Mike and I are going to extend our hands as a representation of Christ. Be his hands and feet. We're going to pray over you. Nobody stand alone. Elders, deacons, find people, please, and go put your hands on their shoulders. Even if you're here and you say, I'm not on the leadership team, just go ahead and make sure nobody's standing alone. We're going to wait for you. Lord loves you, wants to encourage you. This was so him that we had this service today. We want you to be encouraged in his power, his might. Jesus, we commit to you, Lord, those who are standing here in this place. And I'm a fallen father, Lord, but I know that nothing moves my heart than when my four kids one of them, God, needs something. Lord, nothing pulls on the heartstrings like my children's cries. And I'm just a fallen dad. Lord, I can't imagine you with perfect love, seeing sons and daughters stand in faith to you, needing your touch. And Lord, we're extending our hands this morning, and we're asking that, Lord, virtue would flow from you, that healing would flow from you, Lord, that whatever the needs are that are represented in this place, God, where maybe the medical world or a counselor or lawyer couldn't go beyond where people are at, Lord, they need that push, they need that touch, they need that healing. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that would come into this place right now, that even more testimony would come forth. God, we're asking, we're not demanding, we don't think you're a genie, we don't think you owe us anything, but you told us to pray. You said, we have not because we ask not. So Lord, we're asking, we're begging, Lord, we're desperate, Lord, those who are standing, just like that woman who grabbed the hem of your garment, Lord, we're desperate, we're acknowledging that nothing in this world has been able to do. Would you step in? Would you move? Would you give us a chance to also stand with Mike and Faith, Lord, and Eliana, and testify with them of your goodness, of your power, Lord. Please, Lord, we're asking these things for addiction to be broken, for healing to be had, for reconciliation, for restoration, Lord, for salvation for loved ones who don't yet know you. God, all of these things we're asking for in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And God, as a church today, we close our fast thanking you for the opportunity to press in and to seek your face. We pray that you continue to teach us to pray, continue to prompt us to pray and to press into you. We love you, Lord. We give you the glory for what you've done and for what you're yet to do. And it's in Jesus' name that all of Second Service said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's all stand as a congregation and sing to the Lord.